Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable. And of course, on Tuesdays, we love to check in with independent booksellers to find out what is exciting in the world and have them pick books for us to pick up and enjoy. This morning, the folks from the Chatham Bookstore join us to present a fine list of books for these, let's face it, Thursday is spring, so these first few days of spring. We'll get you in that spirit. We welcome Tom Schulak and Diane Ortman. It is a pleasure to have you both here from Chatham Bookstore. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A delight. So who would like to start first?
I'm going to go first.
And excellent.
The first book I'm going to talk about is An Officer and a Spy. It's written by Robert Harris. It's historical fiction. And this story revisits the Dreyfus Affair. It's set in Paris in 1895. And the Dreyfus Affair is about Alfred Dreyfus, who was an officer in the French army. He was also Jewish. And this was a time of rife anti-Semitism throughout France. He was convicted of spying for the German army. And he was imprisoned on Devil's Island for life, never to be spoken to again. The narrator is a man named Georges Picquart, and he was also an officer in the French army. At the time of the Dreyfus Affair, he was promoted to head of the intelligence of the French army. In that capacity, he discovers that Dreyfus is completely innocent, and that the actual spy for the Germans is still operating within the French army. He decides that he's going to do the right thing and go to his superiors, and it was a long list of cover-ups and an incredible miscarriage of justice, and the thing that these two men went through, it's a completely sensational story. It's one of the most unbelievable stories I've ever read. And if I didn't know that it were true, it would be hard to believe.
Wow.
And the parallels to today are really quite interesting because it's, you know, unchecked intelligence agency run amok, misuse of information, misuse of power, scapegoats.
A lot of parallels.
Yeah. And it's also a great read. I couldn't put it down.
An Officer and a Spy by Robert Harris, published by Random House.
Okay, the next book I have is called For the Benefit of Those Who See. It's by Rosemary Mahoney. It's a work of nonfiction, and it's about the time she spent in Tibet at an organization called Braille Without Borders, and the sister organization in India. In Tibet, she was with children who were blind, learning Braille, and the school in India, she was a teacher for adults with blindness. So she did this to kind of confront her own fears and misconceptions about blind people. And she writes about her experiences with compassion and humor. One of the things that I really took away from the book was her assumption going into it when she was living amongst them that she could kind of choose anonymity when she wanted to be anonymous. If she was, you know, had to be somewhere and she was late and she would choose not to say hello to someone, they invariably knew that she was there and that it was her.
Right.
And it's because their senses are so evolved. It's incredible. And we rely so much on our vision to inform us of the world. And it makes you wonder what we're missing out on by not using our other four senses.
I had a fascinating conversation with Rosemary Mahoney,
which you
can hear online at WAMC.org.
Right.
It's a remarkable book. It's for the benefit of those who see.
Right. And I also think it's really aptly named because I feel like I've benefited from reading this book. And I know that the next time I'm in a social or professional situation where I'm with a blind person, I'll feel much more comfortable than I think I would have before I had read this book.
Again, it's for the benefit of those who see from Hachette.
I have with me a young adult novel. It's called The Transcriber, and it's written by Kristen Wichucki. And it also touches upon the issue of blindness. The narrator is a 10-year-old boy, and his older sister is blind. And he describes his frustration and how he deals with not getting the same type of attention that his sister gets. And they have a rift in their relationship, and they come back together. But the interesting thing also, another little aside about this book, is it's published by the Gemma Open Door program, and it's written for new readers, meaning that even though it's a young adult novel, it's written for teenagers that maybe are just learning to read. So they publish really clever, intelligent, funny stories that are small and not overwhelming. So I would say to anybody that has a teenager that maybe they're frustrated that they're not reading enough to try and, you know, try out these series. This is a great little book, and I know they have other great stories as well.
Great stuff. It's Transcriber, and it's Gemma Media, you mentioned, as the publisher.
So now we go over to Thomas Shulak, who is with us, to give us three more books to add to our pile.
Well, I'd like to begin with the book Broken Alleluia, Rock and Roll, Redemption, and the Life of Leonard Cohen by Lyle Leibovitz. This book tells the story of the Canadian poet and songwriter Leonard Cohen, who this year turns 80 years old. Mm. The author explores Cohen's journey from a child in a Jewish family in Montreal, whose father dies at 9 years of age, to a teenager discovering the poetry of Federico Garcia Lorca and his concept of duende, which brings together sadness, sexuality, the yearning for beauty, and reconciliation. Cohen started as a poet, went to McGill University, and then a writer of short stories, and then tried his hand as a novelist. But as he became better known, he started to take on a persona of a poet and a con man. This book explores this. But deep inside, Cohen continues to seek to redeem himself, to be delivered. He went to Cuba after Castro was put into power. Then he went to a Greek island. But finally, at 32 years of age, he decides to become a songwriter, and he ends up in the Chelsea Hotel in New York City. There, influenced by Dylan and the times in which he lives, he writes Bird on a Wire, So Long, Mary Ann, Sisters of Mercy, Suzanne, and many other songs. But he finds himself trapped in his songs and his image and his self-destructive behavior as he travels around with his band Army. But during the Israeli War of 1973, he opens up by volunteering to entertain the Israeli troops. But back home, he falls into loneliness again, yearning for release from being Leonard Cohen. And finally, he spends 5 years in a Buddhist monastery where the Roshi, the teacher, loves him into healing of his split self. In 2005, his manager steals most all of his money, forcing him to go back on the road and not sure that the people will greet him with the affection that he once had. He goes out there and finds out that he's more popular than ever, and he's already in his 70s.
There you go.
So I want to end this thing with just a few words from his famous song, Alleluia. And that's where the title of this book, Broken Alleluia, comes from. Many of us remember Katie Lang singing it at the opening celebration of the Winter Olympics in Vancouver, where an estimated 3 billion people listened to this song. He writes, Cohen writes, "Baby, I've been here before. I know this room. I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. I've seen your flag on the marble arch. Love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken alleluia."
The book is Broken Alleluia by Lyle Leibovitz. It is out in the middle of April, April 14th, from Norton. Next.
My second book is called The Invisible Boat, written by Eric Mueller, a local Columbia County resident, author, and teacher at the Hawthorne Valley School in Harlemville, New York. And it's published by Waldorf Publications. We had Eric at the bookstore last week, so I wanted to celebrate his writing. The Invisible Boat is a story of children who have moved from the farm to the city, and they find themselves transported to another world in a boat that they can make invisible. They confront destructive beings, especially in the sewer. And with the help of elemental beings, they take their invisible boat on a hero's journey. Sister and brother, Julia and Leo, drawing upon their grandfather's stories, and with a friend named Annabelle, they confront evil and temptation, particularly as it relates to pollution. In the end, helped by a catastrophe, the good and the beautiful is restored. This book is written for middle schools and up, middle schoolers and up. Its chapters are meant to be read aloud.
All right. The Invisible Boat by Eric Mueller, and which is now out. And finally, we have about 2 minutes.
Thank you. The last book I want to celebrate is called Ask Me, 100 Essential Poems by William Stafford. These are poems that that his daughter brought together, Kim Stafford. And I just want to read the one poem which comes from the title called Ask Me. Stafford loved rivers and he used them in his poems. The poem on which the book is named, Ask Me, goes like this. Sometime when the river is ice, ask me mistakes I have made. Ask me whether what I have done is my life. Others have come in their slow way into my thought, and some have tried to help or hurt. Ask me what difference their strongest love or hate has made. I listen to what you say. You and I can turn and look at the silent river and wait. We know the current is there, hidden, and there are comings and goings from miles away that hold the stillness exactly before us. What the river says, that is what I say.
That is Ask Me by William Stafford, published by Gray Wolf Press. These are all books. Thanks to Diane Ortman and Thomas Shulak from the Chatham Bookstore in Chatham, New York. You can visit them at 27 Main Street in Chatham. And a reminder that we post our book picks and all of our segments online at wamc.org/roundtable, and you can find out all about them and get a direct link to the Chatham Bookstore there. Again, wamc.org/roundtable. Diane and Thomas, thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.